And we're going to turn to Luke and chapter 11, Luke's Gospel chapter 11. Familiar words to us as the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. It's headed in the Bible, Jesus is teaching on prayer. I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way down to verse 13, so the whole of that section. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. And he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That you may know with certainty. Lord, teach us to pray. That's our focus today. Teach us to pray. And of course, the prayer that we're so familiar with, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And of course, where we begin is one day Jesus himself was praying. As we recognize, when we read through the Gospels, often there are those times when Jesus takes time away. Even though there's so much important work to be done, which in itself is an extraordinary lesson. What do we do when we've got a lot of work to do? Well, we get on with the work. Of course we do. The stories are told of Martin Luther a few hundred years ago. And it was said of him that when he was busy, he would get up in the morning 2 hours earlier than he needed to pray. And then he got busier, and so he got up 3 hours earlier to pray for 3 hours before he did his work. And that is modeled, of course, in Jesus. And sometimes I hear that kind of story and think, if only that could be me, you know, if only I could be that disciplined or whatever. But for Martin Luther in his day, and for Jesus in his, a clear sense, what is the most important thing in my life that I want to protect, that I want to guard? I don't want anything else to come in on this particular thing. And for Jesus, it appears that he's quite willing to say to his disciples, no, we're not going to stay here any longer. We're not going to heal any more people here. We're not going to drive out any more demons here or anything. We're going to go away. I need space and time with you and with my Father. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And the first thing I want to highlight today is this question. There's some graffiti there. You can work out what it says. Key question, what do I want? What do you want? What do I want? What do I want so much in my life that I would be prepared to change my life if God gave me what I wanted? So this is not a trivial thing. It's something deep, something profound. What is it that I want? One of the disciples comes to Jesus and says, Lord, what we want more than anything else right now is, Lord, we've seen you praying. We've seen you praying alone. We've seen you praying when you've prayed for others. We've seen the difference it can make to them. We've seen the difference, presumably, it made to Jesus. Lord, now the one thing we want, more than anything else, we are prepared to change our lives on the basis of whatever you tell us. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. The key question, what is it? Ask yourself, what is it I want? If you're young, discoverers have zipped out. But if you're young, the sense of your whole life ahead of you, what do I want? Well, you might want, I don't know, a home, a family, a safe place to live, a career, all those kind of things. What do I want? Those are really important things. If you're at the other end of your life, what do you want? A safe place. What do you want, John? I mean, you should just come to the end. Retiring. You know, what do you want at the other end? What is it? Do you have a craving for a particular thing? Maybe there is that, I'm retired, this is what I've always wanted. There are lots of things we want. Of course there are. But in terms of our journey of following after Jesus, if you could name the thing that you truly, deeply desired, that you would change your life, you'd be willing to change your life if God would give you what it is that you want. What is it that I want? And of course, the disciples had a request that would change them forever. All they wanted Jesus to do was to teach them to pray. They wanted to learn to pray the Jesus way. There was something different about Jesus. He was just like them. Yet somehow, there was something different. And so the disciples say, the secret is your prayer. Teach us to pray. Teach us to do what you do. And of course, Jesus gives them the prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So the disciples, there seems to be this sense, Lord, teach us to pray. We've seen others praying. John has taught his disciples to pray. Now, we want you. This is the one thing we want right now, more than anything else. Teach us to pray. And of course, Jesus begins the prayer with the simple words, Father. I do wonder whether, could Jesus have left the prayer right there? What if Jesus had just said, in answer to, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, when you pray, just say, Father. And I know what our response would be. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. Tell us more. But what if all he had said was, Father. Right to the heart of who we are and who God is. There is a change in our relationship. Immediately, Jesus is saying to his disciples, you can see God differently. He's not distant from you. He's not indifferent to us. He's not remote. He's not out there somewhere. But he is your Father. Seeing God as our Father, loving us, caring for us, accepting us, delighting in us, desiring growth for us and maturity for us. As you begin the prayer, Father, Maybe when we think of Father, we hear all that, but there's something inside that says, Father never listened to me, never spent time with me, he criticized me, maybe he was never there for me, and so on. Maybe that's our image of Father. But Jesus is clear. When you pray, say this, it'll change your life forever to grasp hold of this. When you pray, say, Father, what do I want? What do I really want? Maybe I've never told anybody before, but what if I could have this? What if I could know God as Father? And of course, all these words here, they're really inspired by the words given to Jesus. When he was baptized, he came up out of the water, heavens opened, the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus as a dove, and the words are spoken, you are my son, I love you, and I am pleased with you. Maybe that's the deep prayer that you need to hear, or the deep words that are spoken, you need to hear spoken over you. Maybe you need to hear your father's words over you of love and acceptance. I'm not asking you to change. I'm not asking you to do anything different. I love you just as you are. You're my son. You're my daughter. And right now, I am pleased with you. You don't have to earn acceptance. I love you right as you are. Teach us to pray. It's the one thing I want. Father. What if Jesus had just left it there? Just say, Father. And just let that sit with you. Father. The depth of that. Everything else, I think, would fall into place. It's a bit like on Friday evening talking to the young people. They've been doing a series going through the Ten Commandments. And we've often said, the first commandment, shall have no other gods before me. I said to them, if you can keep that one commandment, all the others, well, they'll just fall into place. And I think with this prayer, everything that I'm going to say from now, if we can take this one thing, Father, everything else falls into place. If we can just know God as Father. And maybe that is your deep desire. What do I want? If only I could know God as Father. Maybe that's what I want. Maybe that's what I need. Someone who will love me just as I am. Someone who will accept me, just as I am, warts and all, with sin, everything, but just will accept me as I am. Someone who will delight in me. Isn't that lovely when the words of God are spoken over Jesus? I am pleased with you. It's almost like God is going, yeah, go for it. Absolutely. This is cool. This is great. You know, maybe you never heard your dad say, well done. Maybe you never heard your own dad say, I love you. Maybe you never said to your son or your daughter, I'm pleased with you, because you never heard it yourself. And maybe deep within us, our desire is to have a father, truly, who we know delights in us. And when we do stuff, we just have that whisper from God. Well done. That's cool. That's good. And it puts a smile on his face. But also, a father, what does a father want? A father wants his child to grow. His father wants the child. The father always wants a child to grow to maturity, to completeness and wholeness. And it may be that we get stuck in life sometimes because there isn't that call from our father, our earthly father, or our heavenly father that we hear. Come on, keep going, keep going, keep going. Face this obstacle, batter it down, get through it, keep going. Because there is that call from a father always that the son, that the daughter will grow to maturity. And maybe that's what we need. So maybe, what do I want? Maybe the deep prayer. Maybe the disciples weren't expecting this. And maybe you wouldn't be expecting it either. But that's the depth of the prayer. Father, when we pray that, we're going right to the heart of the matter. What we really need. What is it that I want? What is it that I need? Maybe what we really need, maybe what we really want is to know God as Father. And then there is transformation. There is firstly that relationship with God as Father. Everything changes if we see God as Father. But then there is transformation. Jesus gives the words, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, here's a little plan of life. And you see, in the middle, I've got me. Doesn't have to be me. It could be you. But it's me. And I've just put some things around. Hobbies, abilities, job, ambition, God, family, money. I could have put church up there. I don't know what else. I could have put lots of other things, I'm sure, up there. But when we are given these words by Jesus, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, there is a call for transformation. There is a call for change. Accepting God as our Father, we understand that. We receive that deeply. And then we pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. What happens is there is a change where we are no longer at the center and everything is circling around us, but God takes his place in the center of our lives. And everything about us circles around him. And the transformation is that we become God-centered. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We want to know you as Father, deeply loving, delighting, accepting us, but to be transformed. God-centered. God-centered. I don't know how often you've reflected on those words in the prayer. Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Your kingdom come. And I've kind of struggled with this. How might we understand it? And it's this. I think it's as if the disciple cries out to God, your name, holy, be holy. That's it. Right now, right here, right now, that's my heart's desire. Your kingdom, come now. Don't delay. Right now. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, there is this transformation that takes place in our heart where we're no longer at the center of our world, but God is at the center and we circle around him. And that transformation in our hearts and our approach to life is your name. Be holy. Be seen as holy. Be known as holy right now. A sense of urgency, that deep desire that God might be seen as such. Your kingdom, come, right now, right here. And that deep desire. And you think, well, I'm not sure I'd ever think like that. But that's part of the transformation that takes place when we accept, what do I want? Lord, teach us to pray. Okay? Here goes. Father. And say, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. There's an anticipation from Jesus that the disciples' lives will be turned upside down and inside out. And there'll be that deep desire that the disciple, in some degree, will always be unsettled. Always. And you say, well, why is that? Because there will always be that crying out to God, your name, be holy, your kingdom, come. Always, always, always. Deep desire. And so there is that father relationship with God. There is the transformation that would take place Jesus would have take place in our lives, where we become God-centered. And then it is followed by trust. Give us each day our daily bread. Jesus says, those who follow me, those who pray this prayer, Father, your name, be holy, your kingdom come. Now trust. Would you trust God? Give us each day your daily bread. Will we trust God to give us everything we need when we need it? I think this, part of the prayer, there is a sense of it being inspired by the experience of the people of God as they travelled through the wilderness. You know, when the people of God travelled through the wilderness, being led by Moses, do you remember how they got fed? Manna. Do you know, literally translated, do you know what the word manna? Do you know what the word manna actually translates literally as? What is it? What's it? You know, you get the crisps, what's it? Yeah. No, literally, it should be translated, what is it? And that's what the people said. What is it? What happened? Every morning, they were told there was dew, and when the dew cleared, there was this stuff on the ground. Gather it up. So they would gather it up, and all the people went, manna. Manna, what is it? What is it? What is it? So it became the name. What is it? And every day they gathered it up. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Gather two loads, 2 days worth on the Friday. Ready for the Sabbath. You're not getting any tomorrow. Trust God. Trust Will we trust God to receive what we need when it's right for us to receive it? Give us each day waiting. I don't think comes easy to most of us, I don't think. I mean, I was saying last week, a couple of weeks ago, when we had the church lunch and then the church meeting, talking about the buildings and how the new buildings and how that process, for me, certainly, I think for many of us, has been teaching us about waiting for God. God has a sense of perfect timing. And we may not understand it, if ever we understand God's sense of timing. But there's the call, just wait. Give us each day our daily bread. A year ago, developers got in contact with us, interested. We want things to go quick. And people say to me, why don't you talk more about the buildings? Because there's nothing to say. Nothing's happened. I'm waiting for God. Waiting for God. Just waiting. And then something happens and we talk about it and then nothing happens. Why aren't you talking about it? People are going to get bored and they're going to go off. Fine. Get bored? Fine. I'm waiting. You can't rush God. Sometimes we rush ahead and we do stuff. And God's going, what you doing? What's the rush? I'll get there. Just wait. And it infuriates us because we live in a busy world with a busy mindset. And if ever you've lived in London, I don't know what it is about London, but I'm sure people in Evesham get just as much done as people who live in London. But they seem to do everything quickly in London. Or there's this mindset of busyness, just fast. Everything's fast. But I'm not sure anything more gets done. And we can have that mindset. And just think, I want quick. Got to get it done. I remember hearing somebody at a big Christian conference, a lady saying, talking about being disciplined in your Christian life and prayer and Bible study and stuff. And she said, you know, Jesus was the busiest man that's ever been. And yet he still found time to pray and to be with his Father. And I thought, what a load of nonsense. Have you ever read the Gospels? Was Jesus busy? No, I don't think he was. I mean, there were periods of intensity when people were clamoring to him. But if you actually put together all the stories about Jesus that are there, it doesn't take very, you know, it doesn't take up much time in the calendar. There's lots of space in his life. The extraordinary thing about Jesus' life, he was never busy. He always had time. As a time when Jairus, the synagogue ruler, came to Jesus and said, "My daughter's dying, come." Okay. They wander off down the road. And a woman, do you remember the woman who comes through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment, and he's healed. Jesus knows the power has gone out from him and stops and spends time with the woman. The men come and say, "No, your daughter Jairus, your daughter's died." Why didn't Jesus rush? It's okay. Another time, Jesus is told, "Lazarus, your friend, is dying." And we're told Jesus stayed where he was another couple of days. What? What's he doing? Staying where he is. Do you know what Jesus did? I think he was waiting for God. He was waiting for his Father. "I'll be there when my Father directs me to be there." And that's what he does. And then he gets there, and of course Lazarus is dead. Well, in our understanding, he's late. But God's never late. Will we trust God to give us everything we need when we need it? Will we trust God? Now, I recognize, of course, there may be things that God has already spoken to us about, so that God has whispered to us, that God has just nudged us about, things we need to be doing in our own lives, responses that we need to be making to God already. And he's now waiting for us. And we say, but. He said, "No, I've told you. I've nudged you, I've whispered, I've given you everything, just come." But most often, it's we have to wait for God. But the opposite might be true. Give us each day our daily bread. So what we have Father, that's a new transformed relationship. We have this transformation for us. No longer me at the center. Hallowed be your name. Your name be holy. Your kingdom come. And then we have trust, patiently accepting God's way with us. The next part of the prayer is forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. God forgives our sins. God forgives our sins. And there is this seeming expectation from Jesus is that now we will forgive just like he forgives. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Is that true? Interesting. I think it's in Matthew's gospel. Instead of "forgive us our sins, for we forgive," it's "as" or "in the same way that we forgive." But here, Luke records it as "forgive us our sins, for we are forgiving sins." We're doing it. We're already forgiving sins. Everyone who sins against us, that's what we're doing. So forgive us. It may be that we struggle with the idea of God not forgiving us. You ever struggle with that idea? That God might not forgive you? And I guess we'd go into some deep theological discussion about an unforgivable sin or something. I don't know. But is that why God can't forgive us? Because we've done something so terrible? Now, of course God can forgive you. Here's the extraordinary thing. What do I really want? What do I want more than anything else? What have I set my heart's desire on? Lord, teach us to pray. That's the one thing that sets you apart. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we are forgiving sins. Everyone who sins against us, we are doing it. already. Might God not forgive your sins? God's desire always is to forgive your sins and say, come on, let's move on. But to enter into that road of following Jesus, there is the expectation somehow within that, that we will see what the Father does, forgive our sins, and we'll get on with it. You imagine the Father just going, hang on, you want me to forgive, but you're not forgiving him or her. You say, well, how can I forgive? And I accept there may be things that have been done to you that are truly awful things. Sometimes people talk about forgiving and forgetting, and I've said many times I don't believe in forgiving and forgetting. Forgive. But there are sometimes you shouldn't forget, because otherwise you just go there again. You know? Almost like forget, oh, I'm absent-minded. And you, why have you done that again? You've been hurt again. Why? Forgiveness is about building relationship. It's about not having any barriers within ourselves that would be a barrier to relationship with the person that's hurt us, the person that's done wrong to us, letting it all go. And it's a deep and powerful thing. And it may be that we can't mend the fences, as it were. We can't build the relationship again. But our heart is there. As God gives me help, I hold no grudge against this person. I let it go. Because as long as we hold that unforgiveness, it will eat, you know what it's like, it eats you up. It eats you up. And God forgives sins. He just forgives and forgives. If you don't believe it, well, look at the story of the parable of the prodigal son. He runs home, and the father just runs out to meet him, gives him a big hug and says, you're my son, you're my son. Forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. God forgives our sins, and the expectation from Jesus is that any follower of his will live by that same value of forgiveness. And the last part of the prayer is about protection. Lead us not into temptation. I think this is, Father, look after us. Father, keep us safe. Father, when my world is falling down around me, be there to help me. I think it's about protection. It's about finding the Father in the most difficult of places, knowing that you're not abandoned. Lead me not into temptation. Knowing God has not let you down. Knowing that God hasn't abandoned you, but he's right there with you. Father, look after us. Father, look after me. Keep us safe. When everything is going mad, I just want to know you and your Father's arm. And so we have these elements. Father, what is it I want? Teach us to pray. That's the key thing that sets Jesus apart, so they would have thought. A new relationship, transformation, a God-centered life, trust, patiently accepting God's way and God's timing for us, forgiveness, just like God forgives, and then protection, keep us safe. Now, having given 5 points, I'll give you another one. Just, you know, it's a bit like having dessert, you know, you can have this bit at the end. Because Jesus doesn't stop there, because he then tells a story, doesn't he? He says, you know, you go and knock on your friend's house and says, I've got a friend who's come to visit me. I've got nothing to give him. Can you lend me some bread? Can you lend me some food so I can feed this traveler friend? He's come at the most awkward time. It's 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is. No. We're in bed. We're all wrapped up, you know, we're warm, cozy. Jesus said, I tell you, if that friend doesn't get out of bed because he's your friend, he'll get out of bed if you keep knocking just to get rid of you. Now, he tells the story, and then what does Jesus say? So I say to you, you get the story? I've just told you this prayer. What do you want? Teach us to pray. That's the thing we want more than anything else. He teaches them the prayer. Live your life on the basis of this. And then he tells the story. Well, what about? You're living your life for God. You've submitted yourself completely to Him, and it's just not going the way you want. Everything is failing. You cry out, Father, but He seems so distant from you. You're trying to trust God, but He doesn't seem to be delivering what you think He needs. You don't feel the forgiveness of God and the loving and beautiful touch of God upon your life. You don't feel safe. What are you to do? Keep knocking. Keep knocking. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open. And again, it doesn't come through really in the text, but it actually says, for everyone who asks and asks and asks and asks and asks. And it's the continuing ask, 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 receive. He who seeks and keeps seeking, 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 receives, will find. And he who knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks and just the continuous, the door will be opened. And you know what it's like. Of course it will. Of course it will be. And here we have a reminder. Ask. What does ASK stand for? Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Cry out to God. And then he ends by saying, God's a good father. God's a good father. Which, you know, your fathers, you know what it's like. Are you going to give your son or your daughter something they don't really want? Or joke? Or no, you're not. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's where Jesus ends up here. Where we started was key question. What do I want? What do I really want? What do I want so much that I will ask? And then be prepared to change my life. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray your way. Let's pause. We're just going to take a few moments of silence now. The Lord's Prayer is all about relationship with God. What is it that I want? What is the next step that I'm needing to make in my life with God? Has He already spoken to us? And whispered it to us and we know what it is. Is it with us right now? And He has spoken to you today or yesterday? Is it something we're still waiting for? Jesus calls us into relationship with God as Father. Utterly transformed worldview. Everything is different. Father, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us right now. We pray. May your Spirit come as a dove to rest upon us. my encouragement to us, it might be that during this morning, it might be that it's today has just brought something to mind that's been with you for days, weeks. And my encouragement is that we take the opportunity. If you do need to say something to somebody today, then say it. There's a question you need to ask. If there's you need prayer, then just come to the front just as we finish. And I'm quite happy to pray with you, and I'm sure others will be willing to pray with you. But just let God and His Spirit just rest upon you and bring you His peace.